Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. The Predators hosting the Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow. Connor Bedard is in town. Joining us to preview it is Chris Mason, C. Mace. Chris Mason segment brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. C. Mace, appreciate you for hopping on with us. We were actually talking about you earlier this week because we wanted your perspective and your insight on UC Soros. I know a lot of Predators fans are concerned about maybe the lack of production that we've seen from UC Soros over the past few games, how much this team has been struggling. What's your concern level of UC Soros?
I'm not concerned. Obviously, you know, we all know he's got a lot more to his game, and you know, he's not at the top of his game right now. And I think he has been in his career a perennial slow starter. I think a lot of you know, as a goaltender, the situation in front of you affects the way that, you know, you play and perform. And for whatever reason, the beginnings of the year, he actually played well the first, you know, six games of the year, and he's kind of fallen off here, as has the team. So he's been more a little bit of a product of the environment that's surrounding him. But we know, you know, UC Soros is capable of stealing points and winning hockey games when maybe the, you know, performance or there's mistakes made, you know, by the guys in front. But right now, it's, you know, you don't want to fall too far behind. So the urgency level for UC Soros to find his A game is it's increasing, especially with this homestand. But there's no question he's got more. I mean, we all know that. He's a world-class goalie, and I say this every time. He's one of the best top two, three goaltenders in the National Hockey League. And right now, this team, you know, they got a young team. They're a little vulnerable. They're struggling with confidence. They need him to be at his best if they want to win some of these tight hockey games.
Seamus, we know that UC Soros sometimes can be a bit of a slow starter. Just from your perspective and your experience at the position, what causes that? And maybe what might help you get out of that, for lack of a better word, funk?
Well, I think as a goaltender, you know, you are very pattern-based. You know, when you get used to your team, you have used to the same personnel, you penalty kill the same way, you attack, you know, defensive plays the same way, you're able to develop, you know, some sort of pattern recognition, and you can anticipate plays better, and you know what to expect. And I think right now with all the new personnel and new coaching system, there's, you know, you get in some of these games where there's situations, you get running around a little bit and it becomes a little more unpredictable. He's had a lot of situations where pucks are going off with his own guys. You know, and those types of things, I think, add to it. But to get back on, it's one of those things that I think we've seen with Soros. It just takes one game. It just takes that switch. And, you know, he's one of the most consistent goaltenders in the National Hockey League when he gets on, in terms of his ability to, once he reaches that top level, to sustain it for 20, 30, 40 games. And that's what, you know, separates the elite guys from just the good guys that, you know, every 10th game or every 5th game you might have a stinker or something like that. Soros is, you know, he's been, you know, immune to those in his career just because of his ability to maintain that high level. But it's obviously not there right now. And the margin for error with this team is a lot lower, I think, just because you don't necessarily know where the offense is going to come and come from all the time, and it's going to be a lot of tight one-goal hockey games. I don't think there'll be a lot of blowouts on the Predators' end, so that just increases his importance even more.
We're talking with C. Mason, Chris Mason, one half of the Nashville Predators television broadcasting team. Now, C. Mace, I think a lot of people, you know, look at it from, may look at it from this standpoint, and you being a former goalie, you can really address this, that, you know, they may look at the goalie as, okay, he just needs to stop goals. I understand things are changing in front of them, the way we play change in front of them. You want to be more of a sort of an offensive team. Yeah, we're going to play defense, but we want to push the puck up. And many people may not see that as affecting UC Soros and what he's capable of doing. Does it affect a goalie when things in front of them change as far as from a schematic standpoint?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, goaltender is one of the very few positions in sport where, you know, you can't go out and make something happen. You have to, you're sitting back there in the net and you're waiting. Whatever happens in front of you, you have no control of, but you have to react to the situation. And, you know, technically when you're in a new environment and the play in front of you is a lot different and the guys are still trying to figure out this, you know, new system and the aggressive style of, you know, defensive play in zone that Coach Andrew Burnett's, there's going to be a lot of times where there's going to be situations that just don't happen the way they have in the past or the way that you expect them to. So there's, you know, there's a learning curve on his end too with the types of situations and scenarios that he's going to be facing. So I think that that definitely has something to do with it. I think even within a, you know, within a game, I think he'll start out strong and then there'll be a, you know, a situation or a stretch of time in a, you know, a 10-minute span or something where, you know, he's not seeing the puck completely, you know, the way that we're used to him being able to track or, you know, figure out that situation and hunt down where that puck's going and get there early. So there's, you know, you are definitely, you know, a product of what's happening in front of you to a certain degree. But again, I think once he gets to his, you know, his A game, like sometimes it just doesn't even matter what's happening. You get to that point where you just know it's going to be almost impossible to get one on Saros unless you get like one of those deflection or off of your own team or something like that. But yeah, he's definitely not at the top right now, but it's a work in progress. But again, I'm not worried about him.
Now, how do you think the other guys are picking up on the system? Do you think it's still a work in progress and they got a long way to go? Or do you think, hey, this thing is pretty much close to on schedule as possible?
I think they have a ways to go in terms of consistency of it. And it's kind of like we just said about Juice there. It's, you know, within the game, there'll be, you know, some really good stretches. You're like, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like. And, you know, something will happen or there'll be a shift where they're under pressure, the other teams, you know, put some heat on them, and then it'll kind of you kind of get running around, or you're maybe a little aggressive in the offensive zone and you get three forwards caught deep, you know, odd man rush maybe the other way, and then it's a kind of a scramble situation in the defensive zone because of, you know, some of those things. And you're going to get that with a young team, and you're going to get that with, you know, there's all the new personnel and you know, the changes that the team has went through. I think it's getting less and less, but having said that, I think this homestand, and, you know, they've given up all the, I'm sure you guys have talked about the two goal leads that they gave up the last couple of games. When you are in situations like that, it's even more critical, you know, to have an understanding of, you know, the certain points in the game where systematically you gotta be even more aware and able to execute, because you're going to get the other team's pressure, and a lot of it's kind of been self-inflicted. So I just think you got to, you know, Bruno's just going to continue to drill that into these guys and get to a point where it becomes second nature and you really don't have to think about it as much as they seem to be right now.
Chris Mason is with us. Mace, it's great to get your goalie perspective here, because these are the kind of things that come up a lot when a goal is scored, and it's really frustrating. There have been a few examples of this. I want to ask you one specifically. We're going to talk about this, I think, some tomorrow during our broadcast. When a puck is shot from the point intentionally through traffic, and there's different situations where it happened. It happened from the wing the other night from a little closer range, and it glanced off of Mark Delgazzo's stick and went in. There's been other times where you shoot it from even further out, and you're hoping that somebody tips it from your team, but you're also saying, hey, it might hit one of the other guys, and sometimes it hits your own guy and goes in. So how do you defend that as a goalie? Like, how are you trying to account for that as best you can? And how much of it is just kind of bad luck? That's where the puck bounces sometimes. Because it seems like it's happened a bunch in these games so far to UC Soros.
Okay, well, first of all, it's tough. Put it this way. I could go back in the net right now, and I could line up Roman Josi at the blue line, and he could shoot the puck as hard as he can 100 times, and he wouldn't score one goal on me. You put one guy in front of the net, and he's trying to get in the way of my vision, and he's going to deflect pucks, I'd have trouble stopping anything. It's just the degree of difficulty. Every single game plan when a team goes in, and we talk about all the time in the broadcast, when you're not getting in front and you're not impeding the goaltender's vision, I mean, it's virtually impossible to score in this league anymore. So it's absolutely critical. But when you, let's say if it's the other team that's in front of me, I kind of have that information. I'm like, okay, he's getting in front of me. He's a left-hand shot. His stick is to the middle of the net. There could be potential for him to deflect that. So that's kind of in my thought process before the shot's coming. You never really factor in your guy because your guy is supposed to be in, you know, defensive posture. There's so many threats around. You're trying to identify, okay, here's that tip in front. Okay, they've got a guy that's a backdoor option. I got to make sure that if that defenseman that's up top right now hears the shot, I got that stick blade so I can kind of connect the dot that way. But he's also got, you know, that option over there. So you're kind of taking inventory every time the puck is moved. But when it goes off your own guy, that it's the absolute worst because you're just never really fully prepared for it. And it's almost impossible. You know, you have to fill up as much space as you can. If you're lucky enough that it happens far enough out to be able to react from, you're talking about a fraction of a second, you know, to react from that situation. And it's tough. It increases the difficulty by, you know, times a million. It's one of those unpredictable things in sport. You're sometimes ready for it. If it's the other team, you will be. But if it's your own guy, it's a nightmare.
Goalie's hard. Goalie is hard. That is
news flash. Goalie is hard.
Mace, you're at practice. Any observations? Anything noticeable today at practice? What they worked on, or anybody out there? Things like that.
Yeah, well, they did. Spencer Stastny's out. No McDonough. So it looks like Spencer Stastny will go tomorrow. I'm just gonna actually sit down and interview Coach Brunette here in a minute. But business-like, the guys are very good intensity right now. Obviously, they won't skate before tomorrow's game, but it looks like this is a team that's focused and ready to get back on track. But we'll see tomorrow. They're going to have another tough test. Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks coming in.
Yeah, as we leave you, because I know you got to go get Coach Bruno here in a moment. But the Blackhawks, this is going to be fun, right? Seeing Connor Bedard for the first time. I know I'm excited. I've watched the highlights, and I've watched some of his other games. First time seeing him live, though. I can remember very early in Connor McDavid's career when he came to town. There was a lot of buzz for that one. What do you think we're going to see tomorrow?
Well, I mean, he's got 5 goals in his last 5 games. He's got 9 on the season. This kid's legit. He's 18 years old. That's the crazy thing. 18 years old. He's playing 20 minutes a game. You know, we all know how much hype you've made about one kid, and it's tough for somebody to live up to that, but he seems to be the real deal. So this is the beginning of what could be one of the greatest players in our generation, according to all the projections. So it's going to be fun to see him come to Smashville, and hopefully the Preds can get their game, and we'll be saying, he wasn't that good.
So at least tomorrow.
We walk out of here tomorrow, like, oh my God, that kid is unbelievable. It's probably not good for the Preds.
Bedard who?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're hoping for.
See, Mays, appreciate you for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
Thank you, guys.
Take awesome. Care. Thank you. Chris Mason segment brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. Coming up next, a drama filled Thursday night football game, both on and off the field. Mm. We'll get into both coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.